Getting Through the Trials of Life, God's Way, next on A Daily Walk.
How do you get through trial? How do you get through hardship? How do you get through loss? How do you get through grief? You hold on to the promises of God's Word. That's how you get through. That's how you make it. This is what sustains me. The Word of God, it carries me. It reminds me of what God has said and who He is, and His promises carry me through. Egypt can never do that for you. The world can never do that for you. It'll temporarily satisfy some need that you think you have, and then it'll leave you as empty as you were when you started. But the Word of God sustains, fulfills, and carries, and guides, and directs. Stick to the Word of God is what God was saying to Isaac. These are the promises I'm making to you, and God makes good on His promises.
Calvary South OC presents A Daily Walk. Let me ask you this as we begin today. When was the last time you faced a trial in your life? I'll bet the answer is not long ago. They happen pretty frequently, don't they? How we handle the trials of life is the topic today as we head over to Genesis chapter 26 in our series through the first book of the Bible. And as we'll soon see, the place to turn at such times is the Lord and His Word. Here's Pastor John Randall with his message, Digging Wells.
We have reached the halfway point in the book of Genesis. We're halfway through. And here we find, now that Abraham has passed on, the narrative picks up with the story of Isaac, and then eventually will lead to Jacob. Isaac was blessed by his father. He was given the covenant blessing. It was passed on to him. And then from Isaac, it would be passed on to Jacob and, of course, on to his descendants. But here we find in chapter 26 that Isaac is faced with a decision much like his father before him. There was a famine in the land. You remember earlier in Genesis, we read of how there was a famine during the days of Abraham. A trial, a difficulty. And Abraham, who had been known for building altars, didn't seek the Lord. Instead, he went straight down to Egypt. And that got him into a lot of trouble. It was there he picked up Hagar, and he ended up lying, and things became just a mess down there. And there were consequences for that later on. But here now, Isaac is faced with the exact same thing as Abraham was, and he's dwelling in the area of the Philistines in Gerar, but he's thinking about going down to Egypt. He's contemplating, I got to get out of this. I can't stay here. And it seems very practical. If there's a famine, then naturally you go where there's food. You don't stay where there is no supply. And so it would seem natural to go to a place where there was supply for you and for your family. However, the Lord speaks to him in this moment and says, do not go down to Egypt. Don't go there. Do not go there. And he promises him, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. But if you go there, I mean, again, there would be consequences. Don't make the same mistake your father did. You don't have to do the exact same thing he did. The Lord is warning Isaac, don't do it. He gives him a choice. And surely Isaac knew the story because he grew up with Ishmael. They didn't have the same mother. He knew what had happened. He knew what the flesh could produce and all that came with that. And so he was warned, don't do it. Listen, folks, sometimes we get into difficult situations and we go back to what we think we know and what will get us out of it. Rather, we should seek God and listen to what He's saying. Well, maybe this will work. Just because it looks like that's the natural thing to do, or maybe that's, in your mind, listen, you need to hear from God on this, because God might tell you something completely different than what you would naturally gravitate toward. And this is a temptation. Egypt in Scripture, always a type of the world. Always a picture, a type of the world. Going back to Egypt was always going back to the world. And there's that temptation. When things get tough, when things get difficult in your walk with the Lord, and they will. You think the Christian life is easy? It's not. It's not always going to be easy. It rarely is. There's trials. There's just life. We just live in this world. So listen, and there's that moment when that comes, when trials come, or they leave, or she's out, or this isn't happening, to think, you know what? It was easier. I should go back to Egypt. Let me go back to the world. Let me go back to the old hangs. Let me go back to the old practices. The Lord says, don't you do it. Do not go back there. There are places that the child of God has no business going. That's not for you. And if you're thinking about it, you're on the edge of it, of calling her up or getting back with him. And don't be foolish. Do not go back to Egypt. I'm just so tired of being alone. Listen, God knows your need. Do not go back to that. It'll wreck you. It'll ruin you. Don't do it. Stay out of Egypt. And so here Isaac hears this, and he listens. And the Lord speaks to him, and I love this because here's what happens. He's faced with the temptation. He's faced with this difficulty. He's thinking about going back to Egypt. The Lord says, stop. And then you know what the Lord does? He gives him his word. He gives him his word to sustain him. He gives him these promises. Notice the promises, what the Lord says. If you dwell in this land, if you stay put, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. Your descendants, I'm going to give these lands. I'm going to perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give to your descendants all these lands because Abraham obeyed my voice. If you will obey, if you will do what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to bless you. What does God give to Isaac? He gives to him promises. This is what I'm living off of. How do you get through trial? How do you get through hardship? How do you get through loss? How do you get through grief? You hold on to the promises of God's word. That's how you get through. That's how you make it. This is what sustains me. The word of God, it carries me. It reminds me of what God has said and who he is, and his promises carry me through. Egypt can never do that for you. The world can never do that for you. It'll temporarily satisfy some need that you think you have, and then it'll leave you as empty as you were when you started. But the word of God sustains, fulfills, and carries, and guides, and directs. Stick to the word of God is what God was saying to Isaac. These are the promises I'm making to you. And God makes good on his promises. Even if they're fulfilled later on, he's still good to him. He keeps his promises. He keeps his word. And so Isaac had a choice. Either you believe what God says or you disobey what God says. Either you stand on the promises of God or you go with your own natural inclination. You listen to the Lord or you listen to your flesh. It's up to you. It's up to me what I'm going to decide. Thankfully, Isaac makes a wise decision. And it says in verse 6, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar. All right. Good job. Way to go. Well, that wasn't the end of the testing, though. Because, notice, as he's there in the area of the Philistines, and the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she's my sister. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife. Because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebecca because she is beautiful to behold. Well, that's nice. His wife was beautiful to behold. But like his father before him, he makes the same mistake. Remember, Abraham did the same thing twice. Sarah, when we get down there, I know you're getting up there, but you look great. The desert has been good to you. You know? So they go down there. So we get down there. Tell them you're my sister. Do me a solid. I don't want to die. Are you good with that? I mean, they might make you part of their harem, but it's, you know. But I'll live. That's the reasoning. Well, that sounds fair. Sarah, God bless her. The Bible commends her in 1 Peter chapter 3, encourages other women to, you know, follow her example of godliness. But here she is. So she agrees. And you remember what happened there. So Isaac, he does what his dad did. She is my sister. And, what does he do? In a moment of trial, first thing, he obeys. He does what God says. Now he's in another trial, he lies. He just lies, just flat out lies. I mean, when his dad lied, she was kind of his half-sister because of the whole family thing. But this was like, this was a straight out, no, this was not even partially true. By the way, a half-truth is a whole lie. Just know that. But this is, he's saying, she's my sister, she was not his sister. And now that he started the lie, he's got to live like it's real. He's got to live like it's real. And so day after day, he wants to give her a hug. Oh, man, she's beautiful to be. Hey, it's my sister. High five, sis. You know, he's like, he can't. There's no anything because he lied. If you're a liar, you have to keep it going. Here's what you have to do if you lie. You have to adjust your life to keep the lie going. And that's basically what Isaac did. He adjusted his life to keep a lie. Why? Why was he lying? I'll tell you why. He wasn't trusting in God. How could these promises be fulfilled if he dies? They couldn't. So what's happened? He's not trusting in what God said. He's not believing what God said he was going to do. He doesn't believe it. And now he's lying, and he's covering himself to protect himself. What do you revert to when you get backed into it? Do you lie? Do you stretch the truth? That's what he did. So he lies about it, and then he's got to keep it going. But it's interesting about a lie. You know that God has ways of bringing lies to the surface. God has ways of unmasking deceit and bringing what is done in the shadows to the surface, to the light, for those to see. And the Lord loved Isaac. So, you know, he's going about with this lie, but, you know, after a while, he kind of forgets that he's keeping this thing going. And he messed up. He messed up. He didn't keep it going. He wasn't. So what happened? Well, it says in verse 8, now it came to pass when he'd been there a long time. So this has been going on. He's been lying for a long time. He's been living like a liar this whole time, keeping up the charade. Then Abimelech, that's his name, the king of the Philistines, he looked through a window, which is creepy, and there was Isaac showing endearment to his wife, Rebekah. Pharaoh's just, you know, the king just walking by, hey, what's up? Is he showing her endearment? That's your sister? You know, I mean, this is something's not right. And he clued in. That's his wife. Suddenly, the charade, the fake, you know, the whole game they've been playing, it was exposed. He figured it out because he saw the way he was showing his wife endearment. And so Abimelech, this is a non-believer now, he calls Isaac and said, quite obviously, she's your wife. So how could you say she's my sister? Here's Isaac's excuse. Well, because I said, lest I die on her account. That's why. I mean, it's so obvious. Listen, it's a sad day when a believer is rebuked by a non-believer for bad behavior and living this way, living a lie. Because people expect more of you and me. If we say we're a Christian, they expect us to, you know, just walk in truth, not live in lies. So when your lie is exposed or your charade that you put on and they see, wait a second, I thought you were a Christian. Because that's definitely, I don't know, I don't read the Bible, but I know a little bit about Christianity, and that's not it. That's not it. Suddenly you're rebuked by people who are non-believers. And they're wondering, I thought you went to church on Sunday. What are you doing here at this table and drinking that and going there? And how come you're, dude, what are you doing? Rebuked by a non-believer. That's what happens here. Well, Abimelech says, what is this that you've done to us? One of the people might have soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife will surely be put to death. I mean, that probably could have happened like a lot earlier. He probably could have said, this is my wife. And you know, they would have been protected then. But Isaac didn't trust God, and so he reverts back to these things, and he ends up lying, and his lie is exposed. Listen, folks, listen. Tell the truth. Walk in the truth. The Bible encourages us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And by the way, this is a husband and this is a wife. This husband living this lie is not only stumbling himself, but I'll say that he's stumbling his wife. He's putting his wife in danger as well. They are one. But what you're doing is affecting her. And it's hindering her relationship with God. And it's hindering your relationship. And it's hindering your relationship with one another. If you want to have a solid relationship, a solid marriage, one thing that is absolutely, in addition to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, one thing that is absolutely essential for your relationship to thrive and succeed is honesty, transparency, truth. If you lie, if you pretend, if you, then listen, it doesn't work. And how many relationships have suffered as a result of a lack of truth and honesty? And it's always sad when it has to be found out. I mean, that's just tragic. It's just tragic, and you watch as the family crumbles and things fall apart. That is what's happening here, potentially. But Isaac didn't think this through. What was he doing? He was looking out for himself. Had nothing to do with Rebecca's well-being. Had everything to do with him. It's all about him. I don't want to die. I mean, you might, but I'm alive, and that's what matters. Right, honey? Whatever you say, Isaac, I love you. No, it's not right. Wow, God is so gracious, and it could have been so different for Isaac, but God is still gracious to him. Look at the grace of God in this, because it says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. How could God bless a guy who did this? How could God bless any of us? Anybody here tonight feel that they are deserving of God's greatest blessing? Just raise your hand and we want to know your secret.
my hands are down. I'm like, oh no.
It's the grace of God. It is all God's grace. I don't deserve the least of anything that God's blessed me with. I mean, so it's grace. And so here God is blessing him. He sows in the land, and in the same year he reaps 100-fold. That's not normal. God's hand is on his life. You don't reap 100-fold by sowing in a year. You reap so much less than that. But God was blessing. But not only that, he goes on to say, the man began to prosper, continued prospering, until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Man, Isaac dodged a bullet in Gerar. And yet God is blessing him. He's sowing and he's reaping, not because of who he is so much as who God is and God's grace and God's mercy, putting him back on the right track. God restores. You know, there is a lesson certainly found in Scripture. The Bible talks a lot about sowing and reaping. Jesus told a parable, you remember, about a sower that went out to sow. Paul talked about sowing and reaping. And depending upon what you sow will determine what you reap. If you sow good seed, if you sow good things, then you'll reap the benefit of that. If you sow bad things, well, then you sow to the flesh, then you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life. I mean, there are things that come with sowing and reaping. If you sow to your flesh in harvest time, you're going to reap a harvest of corruption. You're going to all this stuff that goes into the ground, eventually it's going to come back up. You don't see it right away. You know, and that's another thing when it comes to sowing. Because you don't see it right away, you don't necessarily see the significance of it. Well, I'm just sowing this. It doesn't really seem like anything's happening. And I don't really know if this is going to ever bear any fruit at all. But don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you do not lose heart, friend. So you keep on sowing to the Spirit. And you keep sowing into the life of your children. And you keep sowing into the life of your marriage. And you keep sowing into these things, and you trust that when God's timing, he's the Lord of the harvest, he's going to bless it. He's going to bless it. And sometimes you don't see it right away, but you keep on going. Can I just, this is so personal tonight. I'm going to be a little bit personal. Testimony. I mean, you know, before you guys got here, well, some of you, most of you, almost all of you, it wasn't like this. Apparently they were here. But I'm serious. I mean, and there were plenty of days that I would walk through those doors, park my car, come through, do what we do, get here, teach the word, and think, I don't know if this is ever going to bear any kind of fruit. I mean, seriously, I don't know. And we didn't used to meet in here on Wednesday nights. We used to meet in the fellowship hall. And before that, we used to meet in the courtyard. First sunrise service was in the courtyard. There was a handful of people, maybe. I mean, when I came to the church, there was 100 people. And I grew it to 75 in like the first week. I mean, things were really cooking. It's going in the opposite direction. I was thinking, ah! But you know, 15 years later, you just keep sowing. You just keep plowing. You just keep sowing. We've gone, guys, listen, from here, by the grace of God, yeah. If you're new here, maybe you don't know this, but by the grace of God, from here, we've gone through the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation. We've gone through the whole Bible from here. It's exciting. And we're rolling back through. And learning new things and seeing different things. But what I'm sharing with you is there's plenty of times when you are sowing. The Bible says, he who sows in tears shall surely reap in joy. And sometimes you sow in tears. And the very tears seem to water the ground. And God uses that and he brings something forth that's beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in its time. In its time. Maybe you're sowing and you find yourself getting weary. Don't grow weary. Keep sowing. But not everybody's excited about you reaping and prospering. There's some Philistines out there for sure. It says they envied him. Verse 15, now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You are much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there. And he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. And notice this, Isaac, this I love this. Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names his father had called them, and Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the place Esek, because they quarreled. Then he dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called it Sitnah. And then he moved from there, and he dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, because he had said, "For now the Lord," oh, somebody listen, "now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." God's made room for Isaac, made room for him. There wasn't room. There wasn't enough room for him to park his sheep. Needed room. Here's what I want to say to you. Oh, how the Lord has used the scripture in my life personally. There's Isaac, and he's going through the land. And what happened is the enemy came and filled all the wells that his father had dug. These places of refreshment, these places where people could come and be refreshed and be satisfied. And in the midst of, in the barren wilderness of Philistine area of Gerar, they could find water. And yet the Philistines, just a spite, filled them up. So that no one could take of them. Just fill them up. But I love what it says here. Even though they filled them up and they stopped them up, you know what it says Isaac did? Isaac, you know what he did? Here's what he did. He redug them. I'm going to dig them again. And not only am I going to dig these wells again, but I'm also going to call them what they were called. I'm not going to change the name of them. I'm going to try to bend to what the culture wants. I'm going to call them what they're supposed to be called. I'm going to call them what they were originally named. I just love this part. There's digging involved. There's labor involved, but it's worth it because there's water there. And I'm going to dig, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to recall these places. I'm going to reclaim these places that people have filled, and they're not being refreshed anymore. I'm going to dig that up, and water's going to come forth, and I'm going to dig in this place, and so they contended with them. Fine. I'm going to dig here. Fine. I'm going to dig here, and then I'm going to say, this is the God made a place for us. And I feel like, if I could say, again, this is personal, but this is a passage that God has used in my life, even in pastoring this fellowship. And watching, I'm going to speak in a broader context for a moment. I want to talk about the church that I'm a part of, the group of churches that I'm a part of, Calvary Chapels. And some of you, maybe you're not familiar with Calvary Chapel, or maybe you are now by coming here. But there's more than just this one. There's others. But in some of those places, man, the enemy, it seems like he's filled up these holes or things are, and the culture is coming in and trying to block these things. And I feel like there's this need to dig these things back up again. Get back into the word. Don't get on the latest thing. Get back into the word. Don't get on this latest trip that everybody, no. Get back into the, redig the wells. The world's filling them up. Do you understand what I'm saying? The world is, you know, trying to shut it down, cover it up. This isn't enough. That's not enough. People will never come to that. And you probably shouldn't have service on a Sunday night. And you probably shouldn't have this because nobody will come. And no, the church is only going to be as big as your parking lot. Not so. All these things, you just got to dig it up. You got to keep digging. There's water there. You keep digging. And that water in typology in scripture is always a work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about, I'll give you living water. And out of your innermost being, if you come unto me and you drink, he said, out of your innermost being will flow torrents of living water. This he spoke about the Holy Spirit. So we keep digging. I'm almost going to tell you, for the last 7 years, at least, we've been digging.
Today on A Daily Walk, we've listened into a portion of a study from Pastor John Randall. If you joined us late today, go online to adailywalk.org and catch what you missed. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way for a cost of $5, call us at 877-242-0828 or order resources online through our e-store at adailywalk.org. You can also listen through our app, and that can be found in the App Store or Google Play by searching for Calvary South OC. Look for our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You may have noticed from time to time we'd like to offer you clothing you can sport around town that has a thought-provoking message displayed for all to see. And this month we're excited to offer you the In God We Trust t-shirt. You can take a look at it right now at adailywalk.org. This month, we've reduced the price to $16 for our A Daily Walk listeners. Again, order online at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. Your gifts help us to bring Pastor John's teachings to the radio and internet, and for that, we are truly grateful. So thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to do. Donations can be made online at adailywalk.org. While it is time for us to say goodbye, remember, in Christ, you never have to walk alone. A Daily Walk with John Randall is presented by Calvary South OC.